I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, books that celebrate women, past and present, something for readers of all ages. That's in just a few minutes, and it's in recognition of Women's History Month. But first, just about every week, we look through the pages of the Washington Post Sunday magazine for interesting stories about the way we live now. This week, we're talking with humorist and magazine staff writer Gene Weingarten. He spent 24 hours in the scary world of political punditry. His word, not ours.
Here's the question. Do left-wing activists really believe in free speech, or are they trying to intimidate opposing viewpoints?
I am sick and tired of the Clinton wars of the 90s, of which I was a part. I'm sick and tired of the Bush wars. I'm sick and tired of the vilification of both parties. You're either on my side or you're evil.
If Obama is the nominee, we are doomed, and you should get ready and prepared for it now.
He doesn't have a right to be in this country.
What?
He should have been deported, and this mayor and a police chief didn't deport him.
Listen.
Our enemies are both foreign and domestic, and they are circling like sharks just waiting to attack.
That's just a sample of what Gene lived through, and he's here with us in our Washington studio now. Gene, welcome. Welcome back.
Good to be here. Actually, it's good to be in any relatively sane environment.
What the hell were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking that I wanted to, like, do a cover story really quickly. But it just turned into the cruddiest 24 hours of my life. I've had worse 24 hours, you know, with bad health and things like that. But this was just crappy.
Six televisions. You had five on mute and then one as your master control. Two radios, a laptop, all turned to political punditry for 24 hours. Hours. You described it as being like a spectator at a hanging.
Yeah, and the common analogy is like trying to drink from a water and to drink from a fire hose, but this was more like a waterboarding.
What made it so bad?
Well, essentially, what was awful about it was that you have pointless partisanship, and it's overheated pointless partisanship all the time. It's not so much like, you know, can't we all get along? It's more like, can't we all shut up?
What? First of all, what was up with the tux? You wore a tux through this whole thing.
Yeah, I was remembering something that happened when I was a young reporter, and one of my friends, a colleague, was assigned to wrestle a bear. And he knew he was going to get flattened, but he decided he would do it in style. So I did the same thing. I knew I would be flattened, but I tried to do it in style. By the end of the evening, that tux did not look good.
Okay, but a little hostile that you did this on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well,
now, I was with you on the whole concept until the Valentine's Day thing, and I thought, okay.
Well, I was hoping that, you know, there'd be some comedy and affection behind everything, but no, it didn't affect anything at all.
Was it? Did you find over time that now you know you're very clear in the piece that you have a certain political orientation. You tend to be you think of yourself as kind of a liberal, democratic leaning person, but that. And, you know, the people on the other side kind of got your juices flowing. But over time, did anything make more or less sense, or did it all just turn to mush?
Well, you know, the worst thing that happened was that midway through, there was one point in which I was listening both to Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh, which is a very, very bad thing to do if you are an unreconstructed liberal like I am. And because what you'd wind up doing is comparing them, and there's no comparison. Rush Limbaugh is better. He is funnier. He's much more interesting. He's mean, but he's mean in a way that you don't really get involved with. You know he's kind of kidding, and so the worst thing that happened to me was that I found myself grudgingly respecting Rush Limbaugh, which is just a terrible thing to do if you're a liberal. But gradually, what happens is you get into it, and I found things to really despise about him eventually. Yeah,
like what?
Well, you know, he's very much against Obama, which is fair game. You know, Limbaugh will attack Obama in areas where he's vulnerable, and that's fine. But you know, then I discovered that he was saying his name kind of interestingly, like Obama, and I decided this was a racial thing. This was like yo mama
to try to
yeah
make him the black guy.
Yeah, to make him the black guy.
Do you have the feeling that, well, let's go just to be fair about it, on the other side, was there anybody on the left that you kind of got sick of, even
though
you're inclined that way?
Yeah, have you heard Keith Olbermann? He's nuts. So yeah, by the end of the he's not nuts so much as he's posturing, you know, for the same way he's posturing the same way that O'Reilly is posturing, and it's equally annoying, and I wound up turning him off too.
You said that you wrote that about 21 hours in, you wrote, "If you care about the state of humankind, it fills you with despair. We are, as a people, bleak and hostile and suspicious, filled with senseless partisanship and willing to believe anything and everything about anyone. We are full of ourselves and we hate, and we do it 24/7. Now, you're a funny guy. So when I read this, it kind of stopped me short. Did you really mean that? Or were you just also aiming for effect as well?
Well, it was both, but you have to remember that was very late at night, and I actually text messaged that to a radio show that was calling for Valentine's Day text messages, and I ended that message by asking them as a favor to me, as a Valentine's Day present to me, to broadcast 20 seconds of dead air, complete silence, nothing, and they didn't. It was just impossible.
Well, what about something else, like birds singing or something sweet?
Well, I could have asked for that, but you know what? I was not in a sweet mood by hour 23.
Do you have the feeling that these folks mean what they say, or you think they're just being loud for the sake of getting ratings?
I think it kind of depends who you're talking to, but by and large, I think that they've sort of whipped themselves into meaning it.
Now, I know you're a humorist, but I do want to get your take on this. We recently had a round table with some Pennsylvania voters and looking ahead to the Pennsylvania primary. This is what one of our voters had to say.
It used to be that the media would tell us the facts, and then Americans with a head on their shoulders would make good decisions about what they thought was best for them. Now we have to be distracted by arguments of, is he black enough? Is she woman enough?
You know, now, of course, you know, we all have a fantasy about the past. Well, some people have a fantasy about the past. It was always better, you know, back then. But, you know, you have to remember, this is a country in which political leaders have fought duels, you know, that they caned each other on the floor of the Congress, that there's always been kind of scurrilousness afoot. But I wanted to ask, do you think it's possible to roll back the clock in a way? Is it possible to sort of cut the cord on all this punditry? Is there just no, it's just not possible. It's just the way it is these days.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible anymore because anybody can talk to anybody at any time. You know, if you have a computer, you are a pundit. If you have a video camera, you are a video pundit. And I just don't, there's no way of calling it back.
So what did you do to detox?
I slept for a very, very long time afterwards.
And how did your friends and family notice any change after you had immersed yourself in this cesspool of talk?
Well, for 2 days, I didn't talk. I basically didn't talk to anybody. I stewed in my own juices because I was very sorry I had done this story.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
Well, I was sorry I had done it because it had added to my already pretty pithy brew of cynicism more than I was happy about.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Fine now.
I was going to say, can we help you in some way? This is NPR. Can we help you?
I know. I'm
bring
all
sensibleness
recovered.
Back to your life?
Somehow? We're good.
Okay. All right. Gene Weingarten is a humorist and Washington Post magazine staff writer. He spent 24 hours in hell, watching, listening, and reading the nation's political pundits for 24 hours straight. If you want to read the story in its entirety, we have a link on our website, npr.org/tellmemore. He was kind enough to come into our studio. Gene, thank you so much.
Very good to be here.